Jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com is Tyler Drake. Tyler covers the Cardinals out in Arizona for ArizonaSports.com. You can follow Tyler on X, on Twitter, at TDrake4, the number 4, sports. So, how big of a story is it out there that Cliff Kingsbury's returning to where he coached for a few years, and by the way, coached Kyler Murray?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on first off. But yeah, I would say it's definitely a storyline for sure. Obviously, Cliff had quite a few years here and came in with Kyler, package deal back in 2019. I think also having Jaden back in the desert is another part to that storyline, just because of his time with the Sun Devils before transferring to LSU and winning the Heisman and being who he is now. So yeah, a lot of familiar faces this week, and definitely Cardinals fans and ASU fans both have an idea of who's on that other sideline for sure.
Tyler, I mean, we kind of, Phoenix is a weird sports market, but you're out there covering it. I mean, there are, you know, 4 major pro sports teams. Where does Arizona State football rank in the, you know, sports importance hierarchy?
Yeah, it's up there. I think, you know, with the Coyotes going to Utah now, I would say that the right. Sun Devils have moved up a little bit in that ranking. Yeah, so they're still, it's still a team out here, a top team that a lot of people like to follow along. If I had to do like a list, I'd probably go Cardinals, Suns, D-backs, ASU.
Big 12. I mean, the whole thing of, you know, when you have a team in your market for so long and they move out of a league that it's been in forever, it's just weird. But they're off to a pretty good start. I think they lost to Texas Tech last week. But watched that game early on against Mississippi State. Had no idea how bad Mississippi State was at that point. All right. Tell me what Kyler Murray said when he was asked about the differences between Cliff's offense and the offense right now with Drew Petzkin.
Yes. So I'll try to say exactly what he said. He said one offense, one system relies on certain things, and the other offense relies on other things. And after that, it was more about what he did after the comment. It was the wink that he had right after. I don't know if that was to signal, hey, I knew what you guys were asking, or hey, I got around this question without really diving into the nitty-gritty of both systems. But it definitely was something that a lot of us kind of, I mean, we were having a couple laughs in the press conference room just knowing that he did that, and he even kind of laughed like, I don't really know how you guys wanted me to answer that. I think he said that right away, right after, but yeah, that was the gist of what he said. So you can read between the lines there. Obviously, Kyler.
Well, I wouldn't know how to read between the lines. What okay. do you think? Exactly. Was his relationship a good one with Kingsbury or not?
I think it was a good one. I think it probably soured there towards the end. I think just in general, I think the whole entire regime there at the end kind of soured and needed to be a change. I think the thing that I went to right away was how Kyler has talked time and time again about how this offense, he doesn't have to go out and be Superman anymore. He doesn't have to go out there and do things himself to make this team win or be close to winning or be in a position to win. Like, they can rely on the run offense to get going. They can rely on other pieces. It's not, Kyler Murray against the Raiders when he had to run around and scramble for like a minute and a half on a 2-minute or a 2-point conversion to win the game kind of thing. Like, there's all of these other factors now, whereas I feel like that's been the biggest difference, where with Cliff, he had to be Superman. He had to be the guy that put everybody on his back to win the game, and now that's no longer the case. So me reading between the lines, that's what I took away from it. Who knows, though? Maybe he was just kind of pushing that to the side and giving us a non-answer that really we couldn't go with, but I felt like the wink kind of said a lot more than the quotes at that moment.
All right, let's talk about the start to the year. They had a shot. They had a 2-score lead, I think a 14-point lead at Buffalo. Lost that game, blew out a depleted Rams team, but it was the same depleted Rams team that came back and beat the 49ers, and then had a competitive game against Detroit. I think, you know, you kicked a field goal late on. Did you get the ball back down 7? Did you have a chance down 7 in that game or not?
I don't think so. I think they were able to convert there at the end.
Got it. I didn't think so. But give me your overall summary of what the Cardinals have been through three games.
Yeah, much improved. I think the 1-2 record, obviously, that's not the greatest. But you go out there and kind of exercise some ghosts against the Rams, 42-10. That was an absolute beatdown, 41-10. Absolute beatdown there, and something that needed to happen. I mean, the Rams have had their number since, especially at home, since like 2014. Like, they just had not been able to beat them, especially at home. And then you've got these two playoff, potentially Super Bowl contenders in the Bills and the Lions. Like, I really thought that the Cardinals had a great shot in week one to knock off the Bills, but that offense fell apart in the second half. And then I think a lot of the same against the Lions. They really came out firing that first opening drive. They were going back and forth, and then, again, the offense started to sputter. I thought the defense did really well in that second half against the Lions. If they can bottle some of that up moving forward, that'll say a lot about them moving forward. But they also have to, you know, make up for the loss of a guy like Justin Jones, who's been starting in the middle of their defensive line, or right off the edge on the defensive line for the past three games. So they've got some depth issues there. They've got some depth issues at right tackle right now with Kelvin Beachum dealing with a little hamstring injury. Jonah Williams is on the IR. So there's some spots along the line that can be exploited. But I think all in all, this is a much improved team than they were last year. They've got to put some wins together, though, to really shore up that thinking. I think there's about two plays, I'd say, from the Lions that where they could have gotten back, one being that interception and double coverage to Marvin. That could have been a huge game changer. The Mack Wilson interception pick six right at the 2-minute warning. I know it's iffy, it's questionable, but those two plays right there, that's a huge swing in points. And that could have really, I mean, we could be looking at a really, really interesting matchup from a record standpoint entering this week. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they come out and kind of respond after knowing how close they've been those two losses.
I'm just curious. I think we feel the loss of Austin Ekeler this weekend will be a big one. He's been exceptional in the first three games. Is Trey McBride going to play? And if not, how big of a loss is that?
Yeah, it would be a huge loss if he doesn't go. We'll probably get some more info today. If he's out there practicing in a non-contact jersey, similar to what Max Melton did about a week or two ago, that will be a good sign forward, just knowing that he's at least getting back out on the field, and that I would assume the next step is him getting out of there completely. But yeah, huge loss if he can't go. He's one of the top, I'd say top five, top 10 tight ends in the league. He really hasn't exploded on the scene so far. I think that's going to change here eventually. He's very much, I think he could have a career year just knowing that he's no longer behind a guy like Zach Ertz, who's in Washington now, and just having the opportunities and growing that bond with Kyler. If he can't go, it's going to be a lot of Elijah Higgins, who used to be a wide receiver for the Dolphins, and then they transitioned him to a tight end. He's now here, and then you've got Tip Ryman, who's more of a blocking tight end. So it'll be really interesting to see how they implement things. Obviously, I would assume Elijah gets more of those pass-catching opportunities, but can never rule out Tip. I think he's got a little more game than people think. So it'll be interesting to see. I really think Trey, if I had to put a guess on it, I think he comes back this week. But obviously, until we know more, until we see him at practice, that's going to be up in the air.
Tyler Drake from ArizonaSports.com joining us right now. So tell us about Kyler Murray. And is this a big year for him? I mean, he's been banged up. He's missed a lot of games the last 2 years. I would imagine just playing 17 would be huge this year. But, you know, where is this headed with Kyler Murray, do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a big year just because he got that full offseason healthy, was able to really go dive into the system away from just jumping into it and going middle of the year. He's really taken on it. I think something that's really impressed me with him is his ability or his wherewithal off the field to really engage with his teammates and his players. He took a lot of playmakers out to L.A. this offseason and did like a 48-hour, you know, regimented mini camp kind of thing with I think 13 other guys, and you can just tell that side of thing. That's been a lot of what people out here have been wanting to see from Kyler, is that leadership, that maturity on display. I think that he has had that at times, but he's not that rah-rah guy. He's not that guy who's going to go out there and be front and center. Like, he's very much a behind the scenes kind of lead by example, I think now he's got these guys that he can relate a little bit more with, as opposed to some of the older vets when he came in, where now it's, yeah, we're all going together as one instead of, hey, I'm playing catch up, or hey, I'm the guy that's, they're going to rely on me more than you guys, but at the end of the day, you're still the vet. So I think that part has been a huge step forward. I think he's more in lockstep with the regime, with this regime, and the front office and the head coaching and the coaching staff in general. Well, or way more than he was with the previous regime. It just seems like everybody is on the same page. But yeah, the wins have to be there. He's got to be healthy. He's got to really show that he can be this franchise quarterback that, you know, Jonathan Gannon, Monty Osford, all of these guys have praised him and said that, yes, he is the guy, but he's really got to go show it. I mean, he's got all the weapons. He's got one of the best, you know, obviously you've got to see some more from Michael Wilson, from Greg Dortch, but these guys that he's got now, I'd say, is one of top to bottom, one of the better offensive arsenals that he's had in his career. So really, he's just got to go out there and make sure he gets some of these wins, because that's really what everybody's going to judge you at the end of the day, is these wins. He's healthy. You can see that he's got his game back, but now he's got to translate that all to getting W's and not being a team that's going to be stuck in the 4 to 6 win range every year.
Good start after the opener for Marvin Harrison Jr. I think every football fan understands the talent that you have at wide receiver. I'm curious, though, about the other side of the ball. Washington, you probably know this, they haven't punted in 2 weeks. They haven't turned the ball over in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession, 13 straight possessions in 2 games, which is nearly unheard of. What kind of challenge does Arizona's defense present?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be very much – I'm interested to see, because they just lost Justin Jones for the year with a triceps injury. He's been a starter there. That means that Dante Stills is probably going to step in, or maybe some L.J. Collier is going to get some more looks. But, yeah, it's threatening. If the pass rush can show some of what they did in the second half, that's going to go a long way, I think. But there is some holes. I mean, the run defense has been something that – even in going back to last year, has been a huge, huge worry. And losing a guy like Jones, I mean, just losing a starter there is tough. I mean, Darius Robinson is still on the IR. He can't come back and help at all. I would assume when he comes back, if he comes back, he would be inserted right away into that starting lineup. But until then, you've really got to patch together a strong front against a run, or a team that knows how to run the ball, especially with their quarterback. Secondary-wise, that's another one. That's another hit or miss. I mean, I think if Terry McLaurin and Jaden can find that connection again, it could be a long day. The one side that I really like is the inside linebackers room. I think they really help set the tone. Not taking anything away from Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson at the safety spot, but I just think that secondary as a whole, that's kind of where I lump them. But an inside linebacker, Mack Wilson Sr., he can do a little bit of everything. He can rush off the edge. He can be a really big factor in the middle. Then you've got Kaiser White, who is just a dog. He's going to come and put you in the ground, or try to put you in the ground. So that's going to be, in the middle of that defense, is probably their best bet at trying to stop the run, trying to limit Jaden. And I think they're going to have a lot of work. They're going to have a lot of work on their plate, because not only are they going to have to be potentially a spy for Jaden, they're going to have to make sure they're stopping that run game too.
What about Baker? Is he in or out Sunday, do you think?
I don't, you know, with Baker, I would say, usually just given his resume, I would say he's going to play. I didn't really see him too limited from the open portion. Obviously it's the open portion, but with him and Marvin, both of them actually looked like nothing was really holding them back. So I thought that was a good sign. Same with a guy like Kelvin Beachum, dealing with the hamstring injury. He's their starting right tackle right now. So they were all back. They looked like they were getting some practice reps in. So a good sign there. We'll see how it moves forward, but it's Buda Baker. I'm never going to put it past him to play in a game, even if he's injured.
All right, Tyler, what happens Sunday?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a really exciting offensive shootout. I really do. I'm going to actually, you know, I think the Commanders are rolling. I think they're really clicking. This is kind of a flashback to, I would say, what Cliff and Kyler did in 2021. Just the early on, just looks like that's what the offense is clicking like. So as much as I think that is the case, I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this. I really think they're going to come out with a little more gusto, knowing that it's Cliff, knowing that Jaden's out there too. Just they want to show that this is their home state, their home stadium, which that was one thing Cliff really couldn't do well, is win at home, especially that last year. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals this one, but I think it's going to be very close, and it's going to be a really fun game. This is one I've had circled for a while, and it's living up to the potential hype right now.
Thanks, Tyler. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Yep, Tyler Drake from ArizonaSports.com. All of our coverage today on Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. We'll do some Denton news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Free and live on the Odyssey app.